Praise God. John chapter number 12, and then I'll read just one verse number 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. I read that verse again. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And I will just read two verses from Proverbs chapter 31, the passage we have just read earlier. Proverbs chapter 31. And I'll read verse number 30 and 31. Proverbs 31, verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. This morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be bringing the word of the Lord to us on this special Mother's Day. And in the course of our prayer this morning, my wife said I was going to be the special guest. Praise God. Special in the sense that, you know, I'm going to be the only man that will participate in the service today. But if you look carefully, you will discover that I'm actually a woman. Praise God. Amen. You know, living with four ladies in my life has kind of changed my understanding and my outlook to life to be like a woman. Praise God. Amen. I remember when we were going to have our last child. You know, my wife called it our last child. I call it our third child. Third means, well, who knows? God, God is a God of wonders. Praise God. Because when you say last, you're limiting God. You know, amen. Praise God. And my two other girls, you know, they were believing God for a boy because they often see me, you know, stay there in the theater alone watching soccer. They are not usually interested in soccer. So they were hoping, I mean, they come around and they see me just there, lying there and there. And in their mind, they think this man is depressed. But I'm having the best of my life just lying there on the couch watching soccer, you know. And then we came home from the hospital and we told them, you know, your mama has just delivered a baby girl. Or maybe even before she delivered, we got to know, and then we're going to be having a girl. And they started crying. I said, why? I said, because you need someone, you know, daddy, you need someone. You know, we don't like the way you are sitting there alone, you know, in the theater watching soccer. I said, you have no idea that I'm in the third heaven when I'm alone in that room. Praise God. Anyway, that's by the way. This morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be teaching on what I've titled, The Peculiar Seed Life. The Peculiar Seed Life. The Peculiar Seed Life. Shall we pray? Father, as we go into your word this morning, I ask, O Lord, that you breathe upon your word. Let this word come alive unto us. Lord, speak to us, your mind. Speak to mothers, speak to fathers, speak to us all as your children. Speak to the young, speak to the old. Speak to boys, speak to girls amidst us this morning. Because you are the mother of us all, and therefore we ask that you pass across your heart unto us. But more importantly, we ask for encouragement, for direction, for instruction, for reproof. For instruction in righteousness, so that all of us will be built up by the reason of your word this morning. Thank you, Father, because you have the best in stock for us this morning, and we'll receive it by faith in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say a big amen. Amen. Now, In the passage we have just read, verse number 31, let me just say, just by way of starting, that Proverbs chapter 31 is a very great chapter of the scriptures. And more often than not, we tend to read it on a day like this. I mean, it's not supposed to be just for Mother's Day, but it tends to come up again and again. And it's a great scripture. But sometimes the way we perceive it is like, oh, they're going to talk about the things that I've done wrong all these years, and they're going to just talk about how I've been inadequate as a mother, and I will see the 10 things that I need to do in the next 1 week to get things right and stuff like that. This message is not going to be for that. Like any other message, is going to be for direction, for reproof, instruction, correction where it's required. But more importantly, it's going to be an encouragement to mothers, and of course, by extension, to all of us. So it's not specifically for mothers, as it were. It's for us all. And the Lord gave it to me to encourage us as a church, and encourage many of us, or some of us that are in the business, as it were, of parenting. Now, in verse number 31, you will see something talk about, in my version, the New King James Version, says, give her of the fruit of her hands. The harvest of fruits often begins with the sowing of a seed. Before you talk about the harvest of fruit, you've got to have the sowing or the planting of the seed. And this morning, I want to teach on how the life of a mother can be likened to the life of a seed. How the life of a mother is like that of a seed. And how the seed is a peculiar one. When you say peculiar, you mean it's different to others. It's not what is expected. It's strange. Some people call it atypical. So the seed life of a mother or of motherhood is peculiar, is different. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning by the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm going to be talking on what I've titled, The Peculiar Seed Life. I've said that, I'm saying it again. The Peculiar Seed Life. The Peculiar Seed Life. Now, the year was in 1908, and the place was at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in a place called Grafton in West Virginia, United States of America. That was the place where we first have what we now refer to as the Mother's Day, at least the way it's celebrated today. It was first done by a woman by the name of Hannah Jarvis in 1908. And Hannah Jarvis was going to actually celebrate her mother, who had passed on 3 years earlier in 1905. Now, she was the mother of Hannah. Was a woman by the name Han, A-double-Han. So don't confuse the two. The mother was Han, A-double-Han. The daughter was Hannah, A-double-Han-A. So Hannah was celebrating the mother's life at this time, which was 3 years after the mother had already passed on. And that was what kind of started it. It was not actually proclaimed until a few years after, when it was actually made as a proclamation in the United States of America under a president by the name Woodrow Wilson. Now, that was about 8 weeks just short of the beginning of the World War. This woman, this daughter of this other woman, was advocating the fact that it was important to set aside a particular day of the year to celebrate mothers because in her own words, they give to you more than anyone else in the world. But at the beginning, it was considered a joke. As a matter of fact, the congressmen in the U.S. felt, well, if you're going to be talking about a Mother's Day, then we need to be talking about a Mother-in-Law's Day as well. You know, just making light of her request. But she pressed on, and by 1914, this proclamation was made, like I said, by the U.S. President, Woodrow Wilson, advocating that the second Sunday in the month of May be set aside to celebrate mothers or motherhood. And that was what started it as we know it today. Of course, there were other traditions and other nations that were already celebrating some kind of femininity, some kind of motherhood, or some kind of womanhood before this time. And so when this became quite very popular in the U.S. and started spreading over to other nations, they just changed into inculcating into their calendar or just putting into their calendar the Mother's Day. So that's why sometimes you have Mother's Day not being celebrated, as it were, on the second Sunday in May in some nations. Most nations will celebrate it in May. A few others or less of the nations are celebrating March, and you see a few others celebrating in all other kinds of dates, you know, January, April, September, and all those. Now, I went into that to let you know one thing, that the celebration of Mother's Day as we know it today started in the church. It's actually started in the church. And so when people talk about Mother's Day, why do we as Christians and as churches celebrate Mother's Day when it's supposed to be a secular thing? Well, it may have been taken over by the secular people, but like many good things in this world, it actually started in the church. And years after Helen Jarvis had started this, this Mother's Day celebration, she became sad because the people in the marketplace completely took our initiative over. And they now started making it a matter of making cards and packaging gifts for Mother's Day. She was enraged by that because people were making a lot of profit out of that. And she felt that it was actually driving people away from the core of the message of the Mother's Day, which was supposed to be a celebration of the mother. In fact, she felt that rather than buying a card for your mother, a card that has already been printed upon, every child, son or daughter, ought to write a letter expressing their love for their mother. She felt that was going to be a more acceptable way of actually expressing your love to your mother rather than just going to the shops and buying a $5 card and give it to the mother. And all over the world now, you will discover that a day like this is when many mothers just suddenly dip into depression. Why? Because they are expecting something from the boy or from the girl who doesn't care a hoot about where they are, you know? And Hannah was so sad about this. As a matter of fact, he actually led a campaign, a kind of a protest. He was actually arrested for disrupting the peace of people. She started it, but she saw this trend of taking Mother's Day to another level of just making profit by industries and by card companies. And that's what we have today. That's exactly what you have today. Over the last few days now, the shops are selling at high levels, you know, as people rush in to buy a card for their mother because they don't want that woman to dip into depression. It needs to hear something from me today. And that's why people can go all throughout the year not appreciating and recognizing their mother, waiting for the second Sunday in May to be able to send a card. What a misplacement of priority. Anyway, I went into that to let you know that was the way it started. As the Church of God, we are not caught by this, you know, this drive to just do what the people of the world will do. We are doing and celebrating mothers because there is a sentiment expressed in God's word. There is a value, as it were, placed upon motherhood and upon godly mothers. So as the Church of God, we don't celebrate womanhood as the secular people will do. We are not celebrating femininity as the people of the world would do. We are celebrating what is already celebrated in God's word, and that is a godly mother. The motherhood that the Lord has celebrated in his word are godly mothers. You know, Titus chapter number 2 has a piece regarding how godly mothers are home builders. And by extension, they are society builders. They are the center of building the home and building the society. That's why the Bible says in the passage we have just read, give her of the fruits of her hands. As a matter of fact, in verse 28, it said, our children rise up and call her blessed. And so was her husband as well. That's not celebrating just womanhood in blanket form. That's celebrating godly mothers. That's celebrating the people of God who are responsible for building homes. Men lead homes. But the Bible says a woman builds her own house. She builds her own house. Now, before I go into the details of other things, I want you to appreciate that is where the church of God comes in, and I don't think see anything completely evil about the celebration of Mother's Day, even in church. Like I said, there is a sentiment about the celebration of the Mother's Day that has some form of foundation in the Word of God. There is no point celebrating people just because they are female. I mean, that's not the reason why we should gather all over the world, at least all over this part of our world, to celebrate. We're not just celebrating biological producers of children. That's not what the world says. We're celebrating godly mothers. Why should we be celebrating a woman that does not build her home? Why should we be celebrating a woman that cares less about her children? Why should we be gathering together to celebrate a woman that gives no concerns about what happens to the welfare of the home into which she has been called and given an assignment to build? A woman that jumps from one bed to the other, who cares nothing about the children in her life or about the husband that God has placed in her life. A woman that places her vocation and her own issues, her own life, above every other thing other than what God has called her to do. Being called to be a home builder is a high calling. It's a special calling. It's a sacred calling. It is a calling that God has given into the hands of a woman. And when that woman does it well, she needs to be applauded. She needs to be respected. She needs to be greeted. She needs to be given kudos. And that's exactly the reason why we're gathered this morning, to celebrate godly mothers, people that God has planted into our lives, who have shown us the way of the Lord and who has been a representative, as it were, of God in our life. Now, having said that, I believe that it is not a time to begin to keep scores. You know, there are instances when we have people who have been raised by mothers who are by no means close to the standard of what is expected of a godly mother. It is not a time to begin to reflect on the fact that they did not raise us well. Some of us are actually in the business and we appreciate what it means to be a godly mother now. It is a time to reflect on the fact that there is something that God has put in the life of a woman that needs to come out for the process of building a home, building relationship, building families, and by extension, building the communities. So if we are going to be using it to keep scores with our mothers who probably failed in their responsibility, then we are completely deviated from the standard of God's word. Now, I just chip that in because many of us, or some of us, may not have had the opportunity to have been raised by great mothers or by God, what you would consider as godly mothers, you know. But it's not a time to keep scores. As a matter of fact, it's a time to begin to let them appreciate that in spite of their failures and their failings, they're still much loved. They're still much appreciated. The Bible says Christ died for us when we were yet sinners. All right. Having established that, let me say this, that the woman in Proverbs chapter number 31 is a very intimidating figure. She is a figure that when people will read about his curriculum vitae, they get discouraged because it brings to the fore that they don't measure up. We're talking about a woman who is a cook, a woman who sews, a woman who is an orator. She does public speaking. This woman buys and sells. She's good in business. She also plants, and she's very good at horticulture. This is a single woman that does all of these things together. And if you put your life side by side this woman, you say, no chance. I can't do all this. Can't cook anything. I only go to McDonald's to serve my family. You know. I can't do all of these things. Now, but you need to understand that passage and to understand the reason why the writer, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put it there. Now, number one, that passage, Proverbs, is a poem, you know, is an acrostic poem. Acrostic in the sense that every single verse is started by successive alphabets in the Hebrew. Now, what that means is this: it's like writing a poem, and then the first verse starts with A, the next one starts with B, and the next one starts with C. That's what you call acrostic. It's like saying, talking about a particular woman, saying she's amiable to the core. That's A. B, she's beautiful inside out. C, she cares deeply for her children. You see that? A, B, C. Now, that was the way it was written by the writer. It's a poem. And like any other poem, many of those things should not be taken at face value because they are more represented. They are not literal. Okay? Many of them are actually metaphorical. Okay? So God is not expecting you to be able to sow, to be able to be good at business. I was going to say to be able to cook, but I think that's important. Praise God. you get what I'm talking about. So it is not literal. It is metaphorical. So when you're looking at it and you're saying, well, I don't think I'm getting it all together because I can't do all of these things that this woman is doing. It is not important that you are able to do everything. Like my wife shared briefly this morning, that is grace. Is sufficient, that the Bible says his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, let me say this very clearly. Life is not about being able to get it all together. Life is about trusting him who is able to. Okay, so it is not about you getting everything together. It is about you trusting the one who can. And God can. Now, having said that, the other thing you need to know about Proverbs chapter number 31, and I don't intend to go into the details, I just want to clear some hair so that you won't continue this process of reading your Proverbs from chapter 1 to chapter 30 and then just jumping over because you don't want to read chapter 31 because it's depressing, it's confronting, it's intimidating. Okay? Somebody had said that he wished that there would be a Proverbs chapter number 32 that would talk about the excellent man. And we'll see how many men will measure up. Praise God. Because many men will just say, look, Proverbs chapter 31. Is that your life? You know? Is that your life? And then we wish that there will be a Proverbs chapter number 32 when he will talk about the men. And then we'll see how many people will measure up. Now, I will say that this particular passage just echoes the values that the Lord appreciates in a woman, and by extension, all of us. It echoes the values and the honor God has placed upon the motherhood, especially in the church and, of course, by extension, the society. Let me say one more thing before I move on regarding Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31 is a poem, and it's not talking about a single woman. Practicing horticulture, being a public speaker, able to sow and do all of those things together, is a poem that is just reflecting on the attributes that you find in godly women. So it's not about one person, it's just talking about the attributes that you find in godly women. Now, what that means is like I'm writing a poem because we need to understand that these passages were written in Hebrews, the Bible written mostly in Hebrew and in Greek. And some of the traditions that reflected on the writing also comes to the fore when it comes to its interpretation. And if we're not careful, because we are limited in the level of English and grammar that we understand as compared to Greek, because Greek is... Hebrew is very rich, and so is Greek. We may begin to make some errors in interpretation. Now, it's like me writing about a woman or about anyone, and I say, that person is, he runs like a gazelle. His vision is like that of an owl or an eagle. He's majestic like a lion. I've just mentioned three animals. Now, and you now look for someone who is just looking for one animal who has the majesty of a lion and who has the vision of an eagle and, of course, who can run like a gazelle. There's no such animal. So the emphasis should be more on the attributes of godly women. And more importantly, it reveals the capacity of the Spirit that is in you if you allow it to mature and to come to the surface. Men don't get depressed if they can't measure up to the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's what we have been called unto. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, that's what it calls us into. They're walking in his steps. But men don't get depressed because they are not walking like Christ. So it is more like coming to a point where you begin to appreciate, these are the attributes that are implanted into my spirit, man. I have the capacity and the ability to live up to this, but it's not supposed to cause us to the point that we begin to self-condemn and getting self-depressing because we are trying to measure up to the standard of this woman. Like I said, most of the things there are metaphorical, not literal. Now, somebody will say, so what exactly are the attributes that is being talked about in this woman? There are several attributes, and I don't have all the time to go into the details, but I'll just focus more on three of them. This woman, if you read it very well, this woman has three main attributes of potential that is highlighted in the life of this Proverbs chapter 31 woman. Number one, she provides for others. Number two, she protects others. And number three, she promotes others. The Bible talks about her providing food for her family. By extension, the Bible says she even provides to the poor. So she's a woman that provides. Number two, she's a woman that protects. The Bible says in the snow, in snowy time, she's able to make a wool for the family. She provides covering, as it were, for them. And number three, she promotes. You need to read about the man in the life of this woman. The Bible talks about, it says it's a gain for her because she does her good all the days of her life. She does her good all the days of her life. She does not keep scores. Well, she did this, then I have to do this. She does her good all the days of her life. The Bible says concerning her husband, he sits at the gate where he takes counsel with the elders of the land. Now, the gate in the scriptures is not talking about the gate that we have in our homes. The gate is the highest council that you have in a city. It's the highest council that you have in a city. So this husband, the husband of this woman, is so promoted by the life of this woman that she's able to sit with the princes of the land. So she provides. Number two, she protects. And number three, she promotes. Now, there is one word that you use to describe someone who provides for others, who protects others, and who promotes others. And that word is selfless. That word is selfless. Because the provision is not to ourselves. The promotion is not primarily to ourselves. And the protection is never primarily to ourselves. So it's a promotion given to others, a protection given to others, and a protection given to others. That's a selfless life. It's a selfless life. A godly woman is a woman that lives a selfless life. Let me say that again. A godly woman is a woman that lives a selfless life. She is self-sacrificing. She gives what belongs to her in order to be able to help others to attain to what they need to attain to, starting from the family and extending to the society. That's a godly woman. So she self-sacrifices. She is absolutely selfless in everything. And that's why the Bible says, let her eat of the fruit of her hand. She deserves to be blessed. She deserves to eat of the fruit of her hands. But don't forget that there is no fruit without the processing of a seed. Every fruit starts with a seed. And that's why I said a selfless life is comparable to a seed life. Why did I say so? Because until the passage we have just read in John chapter 12 says, except a corn falls into the ground, it abides alone. And what does that mean? For the corn to become a fruit, as it were, to become an harvest in the future, it has to fall to the ground. Falling to the ground means that you strip yourself of your rights. You strip yourself, as it were, of your ambition. You strip yourself, as it were, of what will promote yourself, and you fall to the ground. Now, when the seed falls into the ground, this is what happens. The seed loses, as it were, its identity. First. And if the seed says, no, I don't want to lose my identity. I want to be the way I've always been. Then it does not have a destiny to become a fruit. And that's why I love the King James translation. It says, let her eat of the fruit of her hand. How did it get there? Because she has planted a seed. And the seed she planted is herself. In self-sacrificing, in self-giving, selfless giving to the husband, selfless giving to the children. And by extension, the Bible says selfless giving even to the poor, to the society, to the people around. This woman began as a seed, but because of her selfless, self-sacrificing life, she has promoted herself to becoming a fruit. And that's why the Bible says, let her eat of the fruit of her hand. There is so much fruit in the selfless life of a godly woman. And for some of us who have been blessed with women in our lives, whether as wives or as mothers, we will see and we will appreciate this selfless lifestyle in them. You know, we will see and appreciate the selfless lifestyle in them. I spoke to my mom last night, and that has nothing to do at all with Mother's Day, believe me. It had nothing to do at all with Mother's Day. As a matter of fact, she lives in Africa. She lives in Nigeria. And Mother's Day is not even the second Sunday of May. So I think it is ludicrous. It's actually shameful for any man or any woman, any son, any daughter, to wait for this particular day to begin to appreciate the mother in her life, in his or her life. It is shameful. It is shameful. You know, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long. We don't have to wait for the U.S. to proclaim a particular Sunday as the day we need to appreciate our mothers before we begin to do so. Okay. I was just emphasizing the fact that, you know, godly mothers are selfless mothers. They give of themselves. They pour out their lives. They jettison some of the things that they could have accomplished if others were not in their lives. They set aside their own ambition. You know, they set aside their own preferences. They may even in the process lose their identity because they live a seed life. Unless the seed falls into the ground. And when the seed falls into the ground, it does not retain its integrity as a seed in the sense that it's coating, I mean to say. It does not retain its coating. It does not retain its structure. The first thing you see is that the coat begins to, you know, fade away. There is a removing of the coating of the seed. Why? Because the seed is in the process of being transformed into a plant that has a destiny to becoming a fruit in the future. So it loses that. Okay? And that is why the life of a godly mother is a selfless life. Let me ask you this question as a mother. To what extent are you putting to the back burner the things you will have loved in an attempt to be able to be of blessing to your children and to your husband? Because that's important. It is important that you ask yourself the question, how much of self am I sacrificing in order to be able to be of a blessing to my home, my family, and my husband? And we're not talking about a question of, well, you don't know, that boy is terrible, referring to the son, or that girl is terrible. We're talking about the position of a godly woman in a home. She is self-sacrificing. She provides for others. She protects others. She promotes others. And most of the time, it's actually against what she prefers, but she does it all the same. Why? Because our life is a seed life. Okay. Now, but the good thing about it, and this is the peculiarity about it as I begin to round up, there is something that is so much peculiar about the life, the seed life of a godly mother. You know, in the course of the week, a lady in church sent me an email in the course of the week because I was celebrating my birthday. Praise God. Amen. I'm sure some of you even don't know. Now, let me finish, okay? Thank you for the people that sent me messages and stuff. I really appreciate it. God bless you. Amen. Now, for you that did not do it, you know, I was jokingly telling someone, I said I would charge everyone $50 who has forgotten to to acknowledge their pastor's birthday, you know. I'm rich, praise God, if everybody is able to fulfill that. Anyway, so she sent me this, and by the way, it is important that we appreciate and celebrate our pastors. It's important. It is important. I will preach a message on that in the future. Now, she sent me a message. She said something like, parenting is a difficult, unhand task, which is poorly paid. And she said, pastoring is exponentially so, something like that. And I agree with that. Now, but the good thing about it is this, and that's the peculiarity about it. Being a godly mother actually has fruits attached to it. Being a godly mother actually has results, and it does have reward. But the matter of the result and the reward that accompanies being a godly mother is quite different to other things, and that's what makes it different. That's what makes it peculiar. Now, the seed life of a godly mother, and I want to say this as a random, because there are people in this place who says, you know, Pastor, I have been sacrificing my life for this family for many years. I've been, you know, I've given all I could to the best of my, I mean, I'm not perfect, but I've done a lot, you know, for my children, you know, for these boys, for these girls. I've done a lot for them over the years. I've done a lot for this man, you know, this wicked man, praise God. You know, because that's the way men appear to women when we don't appreciate them. All right. I've done a lot, you know. Are you saying that there is a reward in this? Absolutely so. Absolutely so. Now, my prayer for everyone present here today is that the Lord make you to live long enough to be able to receive the reward of your investment as a godly mother. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. That's my prayer. That you will live long enough to begin to reap of the fruit of your labor. You know, that's what the Bible says here. It says, give her of the fruit of her hands. She deserves it. Because, unfortunately, not living long does not allow you to reap the reward of your labor. Now, what I've also discovered regarding parenting, generally speaking, is that it transcends your lifetime. It goes beyond your here and now. It continues, the ripple effect continues even when you have passed from this earth to eternity. You know, Paul was writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Timothy. He said, the faith, the genuine faith that I see in you, I first saw it in your grandmother, Eunice. And then I saw it in your mother, Loy. And it's in you now. Now, we don't know about Eunice, we don't know about Loy, whether they were still present at the time Paul was writing. But he had seen the fruit in Timothy that he first saw, the seed, as it were, in the grandmother. Why? Because the fruit of a godly life from a godly mother transcends her generation. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond your immediate family. It goes beyond your immediate household. It goes beyond your immediate community. Trust the word. The Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's simply because there is no life in them. This is what the word of God says. Now, but somebody will say, well, you know, in my experience, I've actually not experienced any fruit. I've given it all I could over the years. And you may be right. You may be absolutely right. As a matter of fact, the reason why people give up on this selfless life of godly motherhood is simply because they don't get results. They don't seem to see results or reward from it. So after practicing it for a few years and giving themselves selflessly to this man, giving themselves selflessly to these kids in their life, they give it up. It doesn't work. I just have this one lifetime. Let me enjoy myself. You've heard that before? I'm just going to enjoy myself and allow all of these ones to run their life. They have their own life. Let them live it. I've invested into them enough. And they give it up after a few years. Now, that is a true experience of many women. But let me encourage you with this. Motherhood, the seed of motherhood, has a peculiar way that it behaves. And until you appreciate this peculiar nature of this seed, you will give it up too quickly. I can liken the seed of motherhood to the Chinese bamboo tree. Now, if you know anything about the Chinese bamboo tree, it behaves in a peculiar way. Now, when you plant this particular Chinese bamboo, you have to nurture it, just like any other plant. You have to water it, fertilize it, ensure that there is sunlight that gets to it. Because that's the only reason why it will survive. Now, but when you do that the first year, you don't see any growth at all. And then you keep doing the same thing every day. Throughout the 365 days of the second year, no growth whatsoever. The third year, you continue watering, fertilizing, you know, ensuring that weeds are taken care of, you know, around this plant. But the 365 days of the third year does not also guarantee that there will be fruit. Fourth year, the same thing. It's in the fifth year, something amazing happened to the Chinese bamboo. It grows up to the height of 27 meters in 5 weeks. Now, to put it in perspective, 27 meters, I'm 1.8 meters tall. So it's like stacking 15 of myself upon one another. That's how much 27 meters is like. I'm not going to be the one at the bottom. I will be the one on top, okay? That's how tall this tree will go in 5 weeks on the fifth year. Now, if you give it up in the first year, all of your investment is gone to the wind. If you give it up on the fourth year, the investment that you have put into your motherhood, being a godly mother, an example, and nurturing your children is gone forever. So you need to wait until the time appointed for the result to show. And that is why it is important that we keep doing it. That we keep sowing into the life of our family. That we keep blessing these children. The result does not seem to be coming up, but you keep doing it. It seems it's getting worse, but you keep doing it. The watering continues. The fertilizing continues. The investment, speaking into their lives, continues. Praying for them continues. Fasting, as it were, continues. Sharing the word with them continues. Because you know that at a certain time, the result will show, and the result will show very fast. Now, think about it. 27 meters in 5 weeks is literally like the growth is right in front of you. You can actually literally sit down and see it grow. That's what it means. And that's what makes motherhood a peculiar seed life. Because you keep doing the same thing, and you keep doing the same thing for a long time, and it does not show. The Bible says our children will call her blessed. I want to tell you, those guys are not toddlers. They are not, you know, in their 10-year-old and 15-year-old. Because if a 10-year-old will probably not even appreciate what it means to be a blessing. But to now talk about the mother being called blessed. So I will imagine that those guys are hard in their adulthood. They appreciate what a blessing is and they say, Mom, you are a blessing. Like I said, I spoke to my mom yesterday. It has nothing to do with Mother's Day, but anytime I just remember that woman, what an amazing blessing she has been in my life. An amazing woman of faith. You know, I remember that there was a time I got admission into the medical school, and in the medical school where I train, there is no Centrelink that gives you money. You are on your own. You know, there is no government subsidy and all those things, you know. And my mother knew that I had always wanted to become a doctor, you know, because I spent 2 years in engineering college and I ran away, praise God. I was doing great. I was doing well. I was on scholarship. I was doing exceptional. I was the best in my class, but I was just not satisfied. So I came home and I told my mom, Mom, I've just gained an admission into the medical school. And medical school is very expensive. It's very expensive. The books are big, but they are also expensive. And she told me, and she knew exactly why I was telling her about it, because I knew it was going to be it was going to take a big toll on the family. And she looked at me and said, "You will go there." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Yeah, you will go there. You will go there. You will go there." She was running a business at the time. She had another store. And I knew that the other store was very dear to her heart. And she called me and she said, "Take, this is the money." I said, "Mom, where did you get the money?" "I sold that other store." I said, "Well, you did what? You sold the store?" I took it to heart. I took it to heart. Because at that time, I needed money to advance my career. So anytime she talks and she calls me and she talks to me, I remember I would be no close to where I am today except by the investment of this woman. And I've just shared just one out of them all. That's why when she calls me and talks to me about things, I ask her, "Mom, what do you need? What is in your life that I can..." You know, I was speaking to my wife this morning. I said, "I'm packaging something and sending it across to her." You know, and because she knows about the story, she said, "Do that quickly, because this woman has invested heavily into my life." Now, you may not have that kind of a mother, but you can be one. You can be one because you keep understanding that the result and the reward of motherhood does not come overnight. It takes time. It takes time. Finally, I will finish up with Galatians chapter number 6, verse 9. If you want to put that up for me, please. Galatians chapter number 6, verse 9. This verse says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap. If, and that word is very important, if we do not lose that." I want to congratulate mothers in our church. But I want to challenge you, don't give it up. Don't give it up. Yes, you have sold, you have invested, you have given, you have done it all. It doesn't seem to be showing. As a matter of fact, your peers who have not invested into their kids or into their children or into their husband, they might be mocking you that you're just wasting your time. You don't know men. You know, you've heard of that before. You don't know men. You're just wasting your time. Just keep investing. Because the fruit will come if you do not lose that. Let us pray.